traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
In all honesty, like, if you spit on someone, there's probably a way in court where I'm going to get out of being in trouble by bashing your fucking face in.
Oh, my God.
No. I'm not talking
about
this girl.
Don't spit on Mike.
I want to move on.
Is there any way I could turn down just Mike in my headphones?
Hey,
he always talks at such a loud volume.
I want you to understand right now.
Yeah.
When you go to speak on the show today, don't.
Oh.
Just sit there, man.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. And that is a fact. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. Hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. We're popping off on YouTube. The channel's going great. The vlog channel is going even better. We're posting 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Consistency is key. Just that's a general life note. Consistency is key. Routine. Now that we're back on, it feels good to be back. Yeah. Mike is right there.
Nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. No, just plugged in. Let me try sticking this in your mouth. Talk. Say something.
You want me to?
Oh, perfect. Can I plug this in the sun, please?
So Mac is going to fill in today because we realized after Mike and I did our double two-man podcast, it's weird just talking like sort of to each other, but kind of to the camera. And it's nice to have someone.
You need someone just to watch.
Exactly.
All right, guys, I'm here. My headphones are plugged in.
Good to have you back.
Mixed feelings on the last Me and You show. First of all, we were in an argument post our 6 p.m. Monday meeting dispute.
I didn't realize how much our arguments fluster you
for a prolonged period of time. I hate arguing. It's like your brother, or by the way, what some people think, a very small group of people, gay lover.
Remember
this weekend?
Yeah, your own sister and mother questioned us, bro. They wanted us to admit to being gay lovers.
What point does like living with someone and being best friends like?
Mike made a comment to me
when we were addressing it. He said, "Yo, like there is a very fine line between brotherhood and gay lovers."
Yeah, I think the line is crossed. When there's like a dick goes into something, you know what I'm saying? Because like when you're just brothers, like you get in fights with other people,
or just contact with,
when
you're like, fighting, you guys hit each other.
My elbow once touched his knee. This story's been told before. Uh-huh. Just the slightest knee touch during a massive orgy with girls, and this kid lost his shit. He was like, "If you ever contact your body near my body again." And by the way, I hated it too.
It was one of the most uncomfortable
Here's
experiences
the fine
of
line.
My
Here's
life.
The fine line. It's touching when there are no clothes on. Right? Like
I'll dap him up.
I think my pants were like around my ankles in this specific scenario, bro. He was just too close to me. He went like this. I go, "What the girl? Don't fucking touch me." I flipped, dude. Max here.
Hey guys.
He's our pilgrim roommate and also my best friend since we were like 6. Oh. For those of you who don't know, what's your Instagram? You got at Macklin recently, right?
I sure did.
Shout out Jeff.
Oh yeah, that was a big come up.
So we got him today, sitting in today. We have a lot to talk about. So yeah, this past weekend went to UC California, Berkeley. UC Berkeley.
University of California, California.
From Mike's sister's graduation. She got her master's degree in business. Congratulations.
There go the lights.
Oh, Danny's there. I'm trying to fix it. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
We need to like you.
Yay! Hey!
Shout out Abby, my little sister. She got her master's business administration, her MBA from Haas Business School, one of the most prestigious business schools in the country up there at UC Berkeley. Super proud of her. And yeah, we went to visit her, got to see the whole family.
Are you in any way envious that she sort of has like a real life?
I did that. You got to always keep in mind, I did that. I did that life with the whole corporate setting. Yeah. I given Lovesack was a little bit more laid back. But then again, her current startup, I won't mention the name right now, but her current startup is laid back as well.
It is.
And so in all honesty, like I did that life. And I thought, I was thinking about it today. Actually, it's funny because I woke up this morning and I was like, you know what I'm going to do before the show today? It's about 1 p.m. right now. I'm going to work on my book. And it was like 11 a.m. and I sat there and I'm like, I'm going to get some chapters in. I got to my computer and I looked at it and I was like, My brain doesn't start working until roughly 5 p.m.
Same.
And I cannot imagine how I used to go to the office for 8 a.m. meetings and sit there and have to like talk to people in a fucking office.
Did you do it well?
I think my brain used to start at like 11. So it was a little bit earlier, but like 8 to 11, dude, I was,
We went to his sister's startup, just visited the office on Sunday. And by the way, her sister's boss was working. Shout out that dude.
Matt.
Shout out Matt.
Yeah, yeah. Big, big startup, $12 billion. It's not even a startup anymore.
I mean, that's a full company.
Yeah, it's a full company. $12 billion company.
Matt, all right. He told me that when he used to work at Lovesac, and I don't know if you can get like fired for this, but I guess since you don't work there, that's impossible. He would go in the conference room and pretend to be on phone calls and talk to himself and just to waste the time. And shit. He'd be like, yeah, that's when Sarah said Johnny told her that she wouldn't want to go to the beach
and
on
Sunday.
And I
would Sunday, just be on the phone with no one. I mean, yo, let's be honest. Everybody out there who's working a corporate job has those little slipaway moments and they find like time to like go into a room and they make up some excuse.
You so got
to
take like, a small break.
Absolutely. Oh my
God. Can you remind the audience why you got fired from Costco?
I worked at Costco when I was like 17 and I was a cashier. And by the way, Costco is a great corporate structure, a great performance plan. You get all kinds of great benefits. And dude, like the first day I was there, I was selling drugs at the time. And don't tell anybody that.
Okay.
And I would go in the bathroom and I would literally get on the phone and I'd be like, yo, yeah, I could run that out to you. And like when you go to Costco to get your bulk pickups, I mean, people used to come pick up bulk, bro.
Ah, large orders.
And I would run out and I would run outside. And lady came in. She's like, hey, man, one time I was in the bathroom. By the way, I don't know. A lady literally came into the bathroom, which first of all, back then was not okay.
She knew you were selling drugs.
She goes, hey, Mike, I just got to let you know you can't be on the phone, man. It's not okay. And I'll be like, all right, sure. And literally she caught me like 15 times, like over and over again. Finally, she's like, hey, man, like, I don't know how to put this like nicely, but you're fired. Like, pack your shit, get the fuck out of here.
The first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was fast, bro.
Were you not doing good enough then? Like,
nah, because I was bagging up, but just I wasn't bagging up people's groceries.
Okay. Yeah, don't sell drugs, especially at work.
Unless that is...
your job.
Yeah.
But don't do that. Don't do that.
Shout out Costco. Yo, honestly, we got to address the.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. So we were in San Francisco this past weekend when we heard of the passing of Kobe Bryant, and I don't know if there is anything worse than this loss, especially in the sports world. It was very clear the world was moving different on Sunday in San Francisco. It was like a giant, there was like, I personally felt like a piece of my soul had been ripped from me. And I wasn't the biggest basketball version of Kobe fan, but like his strides in everything, just like, manhood, sports, leadership, motivation, inspiration.
He's an accomplished dude.
I didn't realize how young he was. He was 41. Mm-hmm. And it's because he's been so successful ever since he was 18. And just like, it is one of the most tragic things I think, I've ever come across, and just sheer and utter sadness and obviously condolences for his family.
Well, his daughter too, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, it was, and even more so such a young life, but you know, like you said, I talked to so many people yesterday. I talked to, you know, Bob Menery and other people in the sports world. I talked to people across the board to kind of gauge reactions. And that was one of the things that I felt so viscerally yesterday, which was how big that hole felt and how much it affected people across the board through all spectrums. And, all the athletes that I watched described Kobe with the same light. What will you miss most about him? What was the most recognizable thing about Kobe? And it was this burning desire to win.
The Mamba mentality.
Mamba mentality.
Yep. Yep.
And I think he brought that into everything that he did in his life. And it really, really, really hurts to know that he finally was, you know, stepping away from the game to work on other pursuits that included bettering the world, bettering kids' lives, you know, helping kids get into athletic programs and be better at what they do. And just for LA, for California, and for the entire world yesterday, it just felt like there was a hole. And I cannot remember a time, one, a larger loss in the sports world ever. I don't think there ever has been a larger loss in the sports world in the history of this world. 41 years old with his daughter. Mm-hmm. And by the way, seven other people, pilot, a coach from Orange County.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Baseball team or softball team or whatever it was.
His daughter's friend, her parents.
Just a massive loss, but also just, I can't remember the last time there was a death that made this camp move so slow and move so differently. Just yesterday was, as a whole, basically a lost day. Yeah. I could not, even being with my family, who I don't see very often, I could not remove myself from this intense sadness.
It's always so strange when an icon passes. Like, you've never met Kobe.
Tragically. Before their time.
Before their time, certainly. Even when it's their time and they've lived a long life, it's still sad.
I agree.
Something like this, completely unexpected, you don't realize even how much you cared about Kobe until he's gone. How much he affected your life. Like, it's insane. Everyone taking a shot. Kobe.
We did it the day before at Chase's warehouse. We were shooting basketball.
We drove past the bear at the place
we were buying. Remember the bear with his hand? We say it all the time, but I mean, even like, I met him in 2017 at the summit, LA summit, and they made this cartoon about him. He worked on about his life and you know why he fell in love with the game of basketball. And I mean, it's a real life love story. Yeah. I mean, the way he treated the game, the way he approached it, the way he took the time and effort to learning the in and out of one of, you know, the most important games in American history, the passion he had for it and the passion he had for the other players and, you know, bringing up these new players. He's worked with all of the players, all of the coaches. He was one of the most beloved people in the sport and in the country. And I watched that cartoon that, you know, was made that he worked on and he presented to people at the summit, and the way he was able to control and enamor a room. It was just mind blowing. I mean, he was able to captivate, and the amount of love that was in the room and the amount of love that was in this country, and most of all, the amount of love that was in LA for Kobe Bryant is just unmatchable. And there's no other way to put it than it's just a tremendous, tremendous loss for the sport and for the world in general.
It still doesn't feel real. I woke up this morning and I the headlines were still there, and it's like something's not computing. It doesn't make any sense. And I guess in scenarios like these, I always try to learn something like grasp for a takeaway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen it on the news. It's like, you really, really like, really got to milk life. Like, none of this little shit matters. Like, don't get caught up in the minutia of life. Tell the people that you're beefing with that you're cool, spread love, spread positivity. Like, there's just no time for this negative shit, which actually we're going to get into today with
an
incident we had at UC Berkeley. But even just like, fuck, dude.
What does it do for, like, clearly this is a massive issue. The helicopter crashed. Why did the helicopter crash?
So,
they're going to investigate that.
You know, how does this affect helicopter technology going forward?
Tactically for us, we occasionally ride helicopters. Mm-hmm. I can't say I'll be doing that ever
honestly,
again.
Honestly, helicopters are dangerous.
Now it's saying though it's fog related.
I heard a drone rumor at first. I heard a drone may have got caught in like something.
We could literally, at the end of the day, we could literally do an entire episode around the reaction to this. I mean, just watching. How the internet moved. I mean, it took over the entire internet.
I've never seen all
30 trending spots on Twitter. The rumor mill began. Rick Fox got dragged into it at one point. People were saying that Rick Fox was on the helicopter. I mean, we could talk about all that stuff. There's also I spent the entire day watching and observing the negative side of the internet, the trolls, the people, I will not mention this motherfucker's name, but this guy that was saying shout out to the pilot who forgot to gas the helicopter up, and he was thankful that I won't say his name, but I went crazy on him, and Ice-T shouted him out. In all honesty, like, and we'll talk about this again later with the spit situation. First Amendment is great. It really is. It's one of the greatest things in the world. It allows us to have this platform. I'm honored to live in this country and honored by the First Amendment and the people that gave us that. But I also am honored to punch a motherfucker in the face. If you people need to be held responsible, you have the First Amendment right to say whatever you want, but understand that just doesn't always clear you from the consequences of doing it. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that. But in all honesty, like our billionaire friend that we had on the other day, sometimes pride is bigger than those things. When you talk about being happy about someone dying alongside their fucking daughter.
Disgusting.
When I see you.
Say his name. I saw this dude on Joe Rogan, and his energy, the first couple words that came out of his mouth, I knew he was a piece of shit. And when he slammed Kobe, I think they doxed him. Someone like leaked his address. But what you're saying is absolutely right. There are implications for your actions. There are real life repercussions that can take place. I learned this the very hard way. And I live and I move knowing that information. And I don't know what he expected to happen, but Not the move. What was his name? Do you not want to say it? I don't know.
I really prefer not to say it. I think people are going to find it anyways. But keep in mind, like, shock comedians have existed forever.
This wasn't him being a shock comedian.
But you know, it's what he does. He does shock comedy. And the only reason they do it, the only reason shock comedians exist in the world is because they're shit comedians. They cannot come up with genuine fucking comedy. And so they say shit that shocks people and makes them mad. And the only reason he has a platform, the only reason this motherfucker exists is because people talk to him when he says fucked up shit. In all honesty, I'm pissed at myself for responding to it on Twitter, but it was so, the anger I felt was so visceral. You fucking scumbag piece of shit. Like, I never wish bad upon anyone. I never threaten violence against anyone. But honestly, dude, like,
you don't have to.
Bro, what else do you do in that situation?
Nothing. Hands up. I get it. You're supposed to take care of him, dude. That ain't on you. I understand what you're feeling, but it's not on you to handle what needs to be done with this man.
How fucked up, bro? Could you fucking be, dude? Like, what kind of scumbag could you be when someone dies alongside their daughter to make a fucking joke about that? Like, You fucking scumbag. You are a worthless human. You are a worthless fucking human. Honestly, that's it. I, like, yes. Should I big up and say, yo, I hope you get better. I hope you get the help you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should. But right now I want to say, fuck you, bro. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like if that dude was here right now and I could find him and he was in front of this house, I would beat the fucking shit out of that motherfucker, dude. Straight up. Cause that's fucked up. When kids get brought into it, that's fucked up.
It's tough, Mike, because what your response did was only blow up his spot, which, you know, like, the attention goes to him, whether it's, good or bad.
I mean, but attention aside, like, who cares? He got the attention he wanted. And by the way, it's not good attention. And Mike, everything you're feeling is warranted. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same exact way. I just, like, I don't know. He is a grown man, so maybe there's less leeway for him to make a mistake and say something erroneous.
You made a mistake. You push the boundary too far. This dude lives this life. This is the 26,000th joke he's made this.
I kind of want to move on, but like, go ahead. You said what you needed to say. And again, this whole Kobe thing is still affecting us in a major way to this day. And it's going to be tough to like jump to the next few topics throughout this podcast, especially since like everything else is extremely lighthearted, but we definitely wanted to address it. Kind of piggybacking off of that situation and taking accountability for your actions and spreading love and positivity. At Berkeley, we had a little incident, and there's only one real incident with high school and colleges there is and always will be the person we call the heckler, the hooligan, the troublemaker, the one person who wants to make a comment or do something that'll get a reaction, usually on video, so they can go viral. But for the majority of the time, no, all of the time we were at Berkeley, all love, dude.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
We had just got done with one of the craziest parties that I've been to in a while. It's college parties. I told the girl who was like hosting us, I was like, she's like, what do you want to do? I was like, I want to go fucking crazy. I want to be in a mosh pit. I want to break a table. I want someone to chug alcohol. Like, I wanted to go nuts, dude. So she took us to a frat party. Obviously. Hell, what was the frat? Alpha Phi, I think. Shout out Alpha.
The one that went off?
Yeah. Alpha Phi.
I think it was Alpha Phi.
Alpha Phi? Shit.
No, that was the sorority we went to, yeah. Alpha
Whatever. Phi. The point is, we walked in and...
did you say we were there for the graduation? Yeah, right. Oh yeah, we said it earlier. Just because like I got like one comment that was like, why is Mike going to frat? But, and in all honesty, like it's a great question. Like we did it for content. Like I'm not even drinking right now. Like I totally did not want to be fucking at a frat party.
I'm not drinking either. And Mike, no one wanted to go. We were exhausted, but guess what I need?
Content. I'm a fucking vlogger now.
I knew it was gonna be sick, dude. So I dragged 67-year-old boxing coach Milton to the frat party. David, the German videographer, and Mike, and just stroking my ego for a second. I used to be able to go to these college parties, and it was still crazy. It was like, yo, Logan, what's good? No, not anymore, dude. I had no idea the reaction was going to be this chaotic. It got dangerous, dude. And if I wasn't sober, I would not have been able to navigate safely.
No, your body would have just gone limp and you would have like...
Mosh pit fucking cameras. And mind you, like I was turning up too. I was like, wait till you guys see the vlog. It's coming out tomorrow. It's absolutely insane. But I crowd surfed. My $300 Laura Piano hat got stolen by a girl, by the way. I fucking know you stole it. We saw you steal it. Mike saw you steal it. And then she shoved it down her pants, bro. Ugh. She stole the hat. And I was like, got out a little mosh pit. I was like, hey, I know you took my hat. And she's like, I didn't take it, I swear. I was like, tell her that I know it's in her fucking pants and to like reach down her pants and give me that? No, I can't do that. I can't.
Why not?
Because I chalk it up to, I'm not telling a college girl to show me that my hat is in her pants. I can't go, I know it's in your pants, because now she's going to be like, he's trying to get my pants. Like, I'm hands off, chalk it up to the game. But fucking keep the hat as a souvenir. I don't care.
I also told him that we were at a point in the situation where, but we went to 2 or 3 different parties that day. And here's what happens. Step one, you walk in, obviously, because otherwise you can't go in.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Step.
You got to get in there somehow.
Step two, people say the following. Oh my God, I think that's Logan Paul. Step three is selfie mode. And not in LA, but when you go to like states that don't have celebrity encounters very often, it turns into this thing like, oh my God, is that Logan Paul? So it's selfie mode. I'm here with Logan Paul. Step four, it hits like a peak. And people start surrounding you. Step five, it slowly starts to turn into, strangely, into like, how do we fuck with this kid? So only, not a lot.
It's not a lot. It's like 1 to 2 people, and they're always like a frat bro or like some like short little girl with colored hair.
But sometimes they start it. Sometimes they start it, and then it starts to catch a little bit of a wave. So like, I told them by the time we left the party, there was like chants that were against us.
No, they weren't against us. They would chant KSI.
KSI.
When we leave, and it's like 5-7 dudes. Just like,
but that's like a term of endearment, right? Like that.
No, but also
it's just so weird. I'm just trying to understand it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand it. So
it's
like,
fun to fuck with people, bro. And if you haven't learned, like based on Twitter sentiment, like I'm a fun person to fuck with. It's fun to pretend really that is. The video of me sucking a dick was me. Like it's 300,000 people will tweet about it. It's a good time. I get it. Like I'll be the butt of your joke. That's no problem. But In person, it's always when we walk away. So it's like,
yeah, well, rightfully so too. I mean, we're 6'3". I mean, this kid's a professional boxer.
Yeah, but our penises are small.
Well, that's a huge fact. But like, what he doesn't know is like, he operates around this party. And like, sometimes when I go to the party, I'll like stand next to him. But now when I go to parties, especially cause I'm like sober and I probably don't want to be there. I hate to say this, but I always like start identifying useful weapons.
So check it out. I escaped the mosh pit. Okay. Went to the backyard. There was one kid who was like, yo, I want to throw hands with you. I want to see. And I was like semi down to just like go in a parking lot and like fight this kid for content. Like in a friendly way. But then I was like, he was like 5'8".
So you want
like,
to start a like, bare knuckle boxing ring in the parking lot of a frat house?
Be good content. I don't know. But no. I said we have to get away from all these people. But then I was like, there's a good chance I'm gonna knock this dude out, and then he's a liability, and like I'll get in trouble for it. So we didn't end up doing it. But like I appreciated his enthusiasm. But the point is, once we were in the backyard and things started to get a little hectic.
Like his hat got pulled off.
Homie grabbed the brick.
I always have one. I always spot one. But,
you always
but
spot
I,
a brick?
But, or anything, whatever I can find. By the way, I don't have it in my hand. I just know where it is.
Okay.
I just know where it is. But he
Mike's already with the brick, dog.
It started to turn that direction. Like now hats off, the camera's getting swiped at. There's like little shots getting thrown, like little shit. And now is when I say, okay, like his hat's gone. By the way, I think I've pinpointed the girl who has it too. So I'm like, yo, what the fuck's good, dude? Like, where's that? And his shit, he's got a much more playful demeanor than I do. Yeah. Like, once shit starts to pop off, I'm like just waiting, bro. I'm literally waiting for something to
fucking
happen.
One person's going to take it too far.
I'm telling you, we were one to 2 minutes away from that happening. Mm. Like that is literally what, so I'm like, yo, we have to leave right now. Sentiment is turning. The people are fucking turning on us. The Brits are coming. We have to get the fuck out of here, dude.
I got the brick.
I got the brick. And so we escaped, but a little like lynch mob followed us. And they were like behind us. And so I'm like walking like with my feet.
I'm in a great mood.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, bro, I fucking crowd surf. I party with college kids. We got some sick content. Like, and the whole day was sick. We saw Mike's sister graduate. I'm just super happy, dude. Mm-hmm. And like he said, when shit starts to go south, I don't. I stay right where I'm at. Like this kid's like, I want to fight you. I was like, yeah, maybe. Maybe. He's like, but I'm just in a sick mood. So we're walking down the street and then this little gremlin girl.
I called her a rolling dumpster.
This little girl comes running around the corner. And I go, and you know, she has her video out, and I thought she was just going to be like, hey, what's up? I'm here with Logan, whatever it is. So I'm like, hi. And she goes, and then chuckles and starts running away.
What?
She chuckles. She spits on me and she chuckles, starts running away. And mind you, there's like 15 to 25 kids still like following us as we're like trying to make our way to the van. And I'm in a good mood. So I don't really react. I was just like, like another hater or whatever. What? And then we're walking for like 10 to 15 seconds and I see this girl's made no progress in her sprint. mind you, I'm the fastest man on the planet.
Factually.
So I go to David, I'm like, yo, let's catch up to her and ask her why she spit on me.
Yeah.
So we catch up to this girl and I have this video here. We catch up to this girl and I'm like, what's the deal? Why'd you spit on me? And I'll play the video right now, but this was definitely the highlight of the trip.
Hi.
Not cool. Not cool, dude.
I don't know if that's what life's about.
I'm sorry. Not really.
Okay.
No.
Listen, I got nothing but love for you, okay?
Thank you.
Nothing but love?
I don't really respect you that much.
All good. I've got nothing but love for you. Respect.
You spit on people. That's for real. That's not cool.
Do you like my jacket?
I do. I like everything about you. But no, in the future, not cool to spit on people.
Fuck, man.
So,
I was just going to ask you, is this going to come out on Tuesday?
Yes.
I was just curious, just because I was thinking you might want to save the reaction for Wednesday vlog, like the
what reaction?
Her talking.
This is all online.
So we
haven't said anything about this.
Right. Okay.
That went viral on TikTok because some kids walked up and started
videotaping,
recording.
Ooh, my bad.
Did they record on TikTok?
I don't think so.
It's pretty forward thinking.
But it went viral on TikTok. She went semi-viral, and I think it would have gone more viral. But when the Kobe shit broke, that took over everything, and this became like nothing. But it was interesting because, you know, I'm used to hate definitely online, rarely in person, especially when someone is alone,
and B, also a woman acting in a violent way like this. Like, I've never been, like, really pressed physically by a woman. I know spitting isn't physical, but in...
That's just disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. Also, there's potential, I think it's assault charges that, like, yeah, could slide if it's twisted a certain way. Not battery, because battery implies, like, some physical mm-hmm. attack. But, yeah, assault. It's, like, a threat on someone's person. And so... She spits on me and I'm like, how do I play this? I'm not really that mad. But also it's just really disrespectful. I want to see if I can change her in our interaction. I want to see if, because I've done dumb shit and disrespectful shit like this.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can talk to her and say something to her that will make her realize that this is not how to handle a problem. If you have a problem in life, just blatant and utter disrespect like this. So I approach her, and as you saw in the video, I attempted to kill her with kindness. I was just like, "Yo, I got nothing but love for you and respect and empathy." she's like, "I don't really respect you that much." I was like, "That's no problem. Like, that's her prerogative, by the way, bro. Like, have whatever opinion you want about me, but regardless, I still have nothing but love for you and empathy, respect, positivity." Just like, and then I told her after this video cut, I was like, you know, in the future, just don't spit on people. But if you are going to do it, like, you got to run faster because we got you. Because we caught you.
Yeah, you crushed it, bro. You like, honestly, I don't think I told you yet. I know I tweeted about it, but I was extremely proud of the way you handled this. And I think it was very indicative of your maturity and your growth over the past 2 years. I also think that sobriety was on your side that night, because I can't imagine if we were, you know, in any kind of other shape or place, but I think you may have still handled it the same way, but I think it helped you even more.
I would have. I'm not like,
you know, we don't get drunk like that, but I mean,
we do, but I'm still not aggressive. If anything, I would have been even like more like, yeah, man, I fucking love you. But I'm not just not an aggressive drunk, but unless you're going to say something, I'm kind of like, I got something like,
no, go.
I was just going to say, like, so this girl got very lucky. She got very, very lucky. She got lucky that A, I was sober, and that it was B, me, and that she wasn't spitting on someone who is like an aggressive human being that would take an action, God knows what, for something as disrespectful as like Mike, example, did not see this happen. Mike has a switch. When he sees any of his friends, it's happened with me before in Vegas, it's happened with Evan. When he sees any of his friends get disrespected on this level, the Mike that I know is gone. He becomes a very protective, large human bear, and he doubles in size and fucking spazzes. And he didn't see this happen. He just saw me running, so they caught up. But A, she got, or B, she got lucky because of that. C, the our mosh pit are like the people that did like and enjoy us. Like you can kind of hear them in the background. They're like, "Yo, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
That she didn't
the tide
get attacked
of public opinion was turning against her quickly.
Yeah, didn't get attacked by any of them.
She was surrounded.
Yeah, and I didn't want it to be like that, bro. Like, yeah. I sent this video out to about 8 people whose opinions I respect. And I'm like, "What are your opinions on this? Should I post it? Should I not? Is it a bad look?" And a lot of people were like, "Yo, we like the way you handled that. Mm-hmm. It was a very mature way of doing it." Some people were like, I'm not going to say who, but some of my friends were like, "I understand she's a woman. I would have knocked that girl out. I don't hit women. I never will unless I'm in like a life threatening position. I mean, hopefully it never happens, but like, it's just like a rule I have, but she's lucky it was me." Yeah. And like, I just won't do that.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
When I came over to... Oh, go ahead. I think you're still going. Go ahead.
And then 2 people that I sent the video to said, this is interesting, and this is the, I'll get to the takeaway. 2 people, I don't think I told you this yet, said it was fucked up of me to question her for spitting on me, for they said cornering her with my boys. I go,
Mike was nowhere to be found. He walked up like 10 seconds after. There was David who was filming.
She had a back exit the entire time.
There was no corner, and it was like all her fellow classmates. And so, and then I was thinking, two of the opinions were like, yo, she was nervous. You're a professional boxer. She's just a girl. And I texted back both of them. I was like, she spit on me. This is weird. Mm-hmm. Their opinion was that I was semi in the wrong and it made them uncomfortable because I was holding her accountable for her actions. So my takeaway from this was everyone's got a fucking opinion about something.
Oh yeah.
It is so hard to be, to be right and have everyone agree with you. I cannot fathom that in any way I was in the wrong here.
That is the dumbest. I would agree.
No, 5% of the people listening to this same opinion, maybe not impulsive, but if when this goes live in the vlog, you will see comments like, yo, you're a dude. You shouldn't have asked her why she did that.
Why are you saying that?
She
was scared. It's going to be a girl. It probably will be a girl that's saying it.
You don't know.
Were they guys that told you that?
One was a guy, one was a girl.
It makes me, I'll try to be calm on this one, but it makes me sad to even imagine that kind of sentiment could possibly exist.
I mean,
what the literal fuck are these people talking about? Someone spit on you. Someone, and first of all, just so everyone knows, I have multiple points on this. To me, spitting on someone is probably the highest level of disrespect.
100%.
To me. So he talks about me seeing red. Now, it wouldn't have happened because I have the same rules on girls as he does. And also, this girl didn't really produce spit. She did this little like blow spit. That was
another reason she got lucky. There was no actual spit on me. She went to spit and maybe she had dry mouth or something, but nothing came out.
If I feel,
which was part of the reason I didn't fully snap, I think.
If I feel human spit in my face, it's an automatic launch of the fist. It's automatic. It's automatic. And by the way, like that, I don't feel bad saying that. If you spit in someone's face, that is degrading them in the highest manner. That is the highest degradation of the human that you could possibly do. You are saying you are a piece of shit and I own you. I own you. Okay. And so my first thought on Logan's reaction here at first was I was proud of him, of course, but I think he handled this a little bit softly. Because there's a problem here also. Mm-hmm. And I who knows if this makes it on, but Logan said it.
You have to stay responsible for your own actions and take accountability.
I get that. But if you don't, it also potentially opens you up to more spitting, more shit talking. Okay.
And to that, I said, because he's right. Like someone maybe will watch this who doesn't like me. And if I'm ever around them, they'll be like, yo, I'm going to go ahead and spit on Logan.
Cause he's not going to do shit.
If you're not a girl, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you. Like this, the circumstances were perfect for her, dude. But like, I'm not afraid to confront the reality that like the whole world doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. And in fact, some are the exact opposite. Like I'm a pretty polarizing character and I don't know if I ever won't be. I think that's just how I move. Like, people are on different wavelengths, and she was interesting because she's on the complete opposite wavelength of me. Where I asked her, I was like, yo, I'm sorry. Like, she's like, it's okay. And I said, I think, can you say you're sorry for at least spitting on me? And she goes, no. And she doubled down.
But then she went to shake your hand and asking if.
I think she was kind of like nervous and she asked me if she like liked her hoodie and she was kind of like deflecting like we do sort of like throwing smoke bombs and trying to get out of the situation.
She sucked at it though.
But like people move different.
But also like I think it's just really important that people understand that like you can dislike someone, you can not feel good about the way they move, you could question their actions, whatever, especially, you know, you could do that online. By the way, like that guy that we talked about earlier in the show, like I'm pissed off, but in honesty, like I shouldn't even be giving him that much attention to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. He's online. He's spewing hate online. People do that all day long. Like, if I saw him out in public, I know I say that, and viscerally I would want to, but I probably would cool down and just be like, yo, this dude's doing shit online. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that line is, there's a line drawn between negative sentiment towards someone, talking shit, and invading their personal space. When you bring it to spitting on someone, throwing hands on someone, pushing someone, you have now crossed the line between freedom of speech and opening yourself up to retaliation.
Yeah. I mean, you have every right to protect yourself.
100%. Right? And in all honesty, like, as we know, spitting on someone can be considered a criminal offense and assault in this state. Mm-hmm. And so in all honesty, like, if you spit on someone, there's probably a way in court where I'm going to get out of being in trouble by bashing your fucking face in.
Oh my God.
No. I'm not talking
don't
about spit
on Mike.
I want to move on. I know, because you just keep covering all the topics with your side, and then when I go to say something, we move on. Go ahead, go.
Just talking in circles.
That's it.
I just don't believe she will make it out scot-free on this one. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can't imagine. Berkeley is a very prestigious school. I can't imagine a person like this is walking around Berkeley. We know her Instagram. Her Instagram bio says lie, cheat, steal. This is not a person who should be emblematic of UC Berkeley. Ooh. I can't imagine. I think karma will catch up to her. And it almost happened, bro. When she was running away, I was like jogging. I was just like, where are you going? And she's like, I'm fucking drunk. I was like, yeah, I know. And she's like, you're going to catch me. I'm not that fast. I was like, I know. Where are you going? She almost slipped, bro. She almost ate shit. And I was about to be like instant karma, but she kept her balance, you little fucking gremlin.
I just got a text. I just got a text from a large influencer and said, wow, I just saw that spit thing. What a trash bag. And I said, what would you have done? Let's see what he says back. I'm interested to see what his response is.
His will be interesting.
I have a feeling his is probably going to be very similar to mine. Is that the end of our violent stuff for the episode? Because
we have a lot of fun things to talk about.
No, I know. I just want to cap it. As everyone who watches this knows.
I'm going to cap it.
And as you guys know, good. And as you guys know, I'm filled with fucking radiant love. I love people. I'm nice to everyone in person. I try to help people. And I want to continue to deliver that as much as possible. But I do continue to have the mentality that I was born with, which is when people are pieces of shit and it's very well known and it's very easy to spot a bad person, a bad egg, whether it's a comedian, whether it's a girl with the nose piercing on some fuck you mentality, fuck the world, fuck Logan Paul. There's a part of me that gets very upset and very protective. And people tell me kill hate with love and kill love, hate with kindness. And I truly wish that I can get to a place where I'm able to do that. Unfortunately, I'm still very formative in my ability to do that. And I'm working on it. And, you know, please, if you're watching this, understand that you're going to be held accountable for your actions. Just understand that. It's the biggest thing to fucking know.
Here's my cap. This vlog's going to be this particular vlog. It's coming out tomorrow. Is fucking sick. The whole thing is just sick, bro. From the graduation to we traded $400,000 cars with my boy Chase. Ooh. Shout out Chase Hero. Your Rolls is sick. Been driving it around. It's sick. Yeah. Vlog tomorrow. Vlog channel's popping. Fun stuff. Wow. Mike, I appreciate what you did last night.
What was it?
As the CRM, the chief relations manager. There was a girl who somehow, I don't want to say somehow, somehow weaseled her way into like tricking us to watch a movie with us. And I've had a sexual relation with her in the past. And so I think she came over with like, maybe that expectation. It was like 11:30 and it's just been a while. And like, again, I truly mean this. Like I'm pretty fucking asexual now, especially when I'm grinding. I'm just getting in the zone of like, I don't really care about drinking and women in that way. And I was like, she went to the bathroom. I was like, Mike, you gotta get this girl out of here. I was like, can you give me an alley-oop? Just say like, just be like, Logan, you should probably get to bed. We have a lot to do tomorrow. And Mike's like, yeah, bro, I got you. You know, I'll do your thing. This fucking girl comes out of the bathroom and Mike's like, I'll use the arbitrary name. That's a good name. Karen, because no one's fucking named Karen nowadays. He goes, Karen, Logan says you have to leave.
I said it in a like super joking. I had a preface for it too. I was gonna say, hey, Logan asked me to finesse this situation, but I'm not gonna do that. Like, because honestly, dude, like my patience, like similarly to what he's talking about when we're in grind mode, like my patience for like bullshit situations is so low right now.
Yeah.
Like, I just honestly don't give a fuck about like any like dumb shit.
Yeah,
like,
but not even for me, bro. You couldn't finesse it a little bit.
No, man, because
now I have to deal with it.
If he finesses it anymore, then you have to do a whole little dance and he's got to like be like, oh yeah, we gotta do this thing tomorrow. And then you gotta be like, oh yeah, I should go to bed. And then she's gonna be like, no, I don't wanna leave.
She looked at me, she's like, I wish you would have kicked me out yourself. I was like, Mike.
Well, and it was like late, and I just like, I think like the amount of things like I'm like willing to do now is just like, it's like dwindling. Like, I have this fucking book coming, I have so much shit going on. Like, I don't care.
Mike, you've talked a lot about yourself this episode, bro. I need you to tone it down.
Not one time. That was the first thing we taught. All the topics had to do with you. The sister, or the spitting girl, this part. What is this one about? Your girlfriend.
I thought you guys like girls that spit.
on dicks, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not on our person.
Like, your shoulder's not cool.
Not the move. Okay, I mean, you know what happens.
Sorry, I missed that one.
I don't know.
Hear about that orgy from the top of the show that you so quickly brushed
over. You want to hear about the orgy? Yeah. No, you don't. That was the worst day of my life. Worst day of my life. It's in my bed. I took a step back. I looked at the debauchery that was happening. I go, is this what I've devolved to? I go, is this fame? I walk in the bathroom, I go like, I was one of these moments. You have these moments when you're drunk. And you look in the mirror like this, you're like,
what am I doing?
This ain't good. This is a defining moment in my life. And right now is where I make the decision as a man what I'm going to do to move forward. It was horrifying, Dylan. So no, I'm not going to fucking talk about it. We went to the Chainsmokers party. It was pretty cool. I also realized, though, that was just another, and us being sober, I get social anxiety. My ex-girlfriend said this. She goes, do you know you're an introvert? And I go, no. Impossible. Because I love people, bro. I'll be walking around like, yo, how you doing? How you doing? How's your daughter? But she says I'm an introvert, and I get social anxiety at parties. So not like I'm starting to really empathize with people who are introverted and shy and have social anxiety. It was the first time in my life. I was like, what do I do?
Bro, that's why the big space heaters at parties are dope to combat social anxiety and awkwardness.
Space heaters, the ones that
make you sweat even more.
Allowed to just like stand there like this.
Yeah, it was interesting. But we found out the quarterback of the Rams, Jared Goff, shout out Jared Goff, watches our show.
Come on.
No, we did. Mike asked him. It's too raunchy, he said. Oh. But yeah, we don't blame him. But it was cool. It was cool to meet him. And it's always interesting to see who watches this show. I read a comment today that a 43-year-old watches this show with their son or daughter frequently. So I mean, this show in particular is,
it's probably a good way to relate to the kid.
Who knows?
Right?
Who knows? Podcasts are, I'm just like, I'm kind of just confused right now because I noticed Mike's gone absolutely silent ever since I said he talked all about
I just want to make sure you get like a chance to talk.
I just lost my co-host. Well, I mean, if I'm gonna do it myself,
I hate when you get like that. It's so annoying. Like I'm trying to talk about shit that has like a ton of meaning to me, and you're literally like, speed it up, and you're like, Dylan, speed him up, man. You're talking about yourself. Like, everything you fucking talked about on the show so far has been about you. The girl spit in my face. I hung out with this girl last night. I have social anxiety at the Chainsmokers party. Here's how I felt about this. And then I say like one thing, and everything in the show's been about you, man. So like, honestly, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I just like, yo, when you want to run a fucking a bomber ass show, fucking kill that shit. I'm chilling here. I got texts to answer. I got emails to do.
I know. But you're not on the show to do emails, yeah? Or no?
Well, I'm on the show to fucking be the co-host. But if you, every time I go to say something, you're like, yo, don't say anything. I'm talking here. I'm gonna cap that. We've heard enough.
No, I said I'm gonna cap your cap.
Don't cap any caps. Just sit there.
What do you mean? I was gonna cap after you cap. No,
you're capping.
What I'm doing is I try to somehow make my life relatable so people can learn something from it. And I don't know. I just noticed there's a lot of I somehow taking it back to Utah, which I don't have a problem with.
Bro, there's no one on there. Let's put it this way. Easiest way for you to understand it. There's no one on the show who's more relatable than me. People relate to my shit all the time. I talk about mental illness. I talk about struggle. I talk about addiction. I'm on this show to be a beacon of fucking relatability. I don't need to do anything. People are like, yo, I see what this kid's going through. I can relate to that.
Yo, I think
so. I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about right now.
To me, it seems like Mike does a lot of like emotional vetting on the show where he's completely like just pouring out his heart about the situations that happen.
Exactly.
Where you're like kind of presenting
storytelling.
Concept of what happened.
I don't mind it. I just think today it's you dragged it on a little bit. And maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to hear in the comments, like, am I wrong here? Or was it a little too me?
I'm saying it was the exact opposite. Well, like you were just like, yo, and I like, also I don't have any appetite for this discussion right now. It's not stimulating me in any way, shape, or form.
Just read the sign.
Dude, what do you want to do? Then yo, kill the episode, bro. See ya.
Like, fuck, he's walking. He's the second guest to walk.
Smoke it, bro. I have no problem answering it fucking email.
Let's watch the Spencer UFO video.
Oh.
Dylan, we're in the middle of a thing. I don't give a fuck about UFOs right now.
Mike is sitting on the love sack. Shout out love sack. It seems that he's flustered, but I do hope that he comes back to the show because I love Mike's talking. He has a lot that he wants to say. He's definitely distraught about the Kobe thing. He's definitely caught up in his emotions. He wants to protect you, man. He's like a big brother.
I know.
About the spinning thing, man, he's sad about it. He didn't like it. And he probably doesn't feel like he got to do enough.
No, I know. I'm just talking about this episode in particular. I have like a weird a weird radar for like when it's like a short attention span, when it's time to move on.
Ah.
Like ADD in a way. And I think that's why I love making content and doing what I'm doing in storytelling. Cause onto the next, kill your darlings.
This one's tough because you're balancing the long form podcast with like keeping it quick too. Like the attention span for impulsive, derivative word impulsive, keeping it quick and jumping around. I totally see that. We definitely did go a little bit long on all those topics.
That's what I thought.
But
that's my opinion.
That's okay. What else? What else is fun? Other fun things going on?
Yeah.
Mike Malak's on the show today.
Ugh, this is weird. I mean, I'll do it because I'm capable of it.
I tried.
And now I got you. Antonio Brown diss track.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted I was going to do this. So if you guys do not know, I had a fight or a potential fight opponent in Antonio Brown. He used to play for the Steelers, Patriots, and Raiders. He's one of the best receivers in the league. And I kind of started beefing with him. I'm sure you guys know about this. And he denied two multi-million dollar, very healthy deals, very healthy offers. Mm. And in many ways, I was upset because I know he's not making money like he used to. And he wasted a lot of our time when I could have been focusing on a different opponent. And by the way, if you have an opponent for me in mind that you think I should box, please let me know. But I tweeted that I was going to make a diss track on him. And then I did.
Oh.
Made the diss track to completion. 2 days later, this dude attacks a moving driver person who's like, I don't know, moving furniture or something with a stone.
A brick?
A brick or a rock or something. Mm. Throws a rock at him. Gets charged for battery. A warrant goes out for his arrest. He disappears. A warrant goes out for his arrest. Goes to jail. Goes to trial and pays $110,000 bond to get out. And so now, what was at first like a fun banter and shit talking back and forth between him and I, like he performed his song on stage and he said something like, who wants to see me knock the fuck out of Logan Paul? And I'd chirp at him a little bit back and forth. Like, again, just fun, like fight talk.
Yeah.
Turned it into like a, this dude might be suffering from some serious mental health problems. Maybe as a result of his experience in the NFL.
Mm.
And, It started to get kind of sad, and the judge ordered a mental health evaluation on him. And I'm seeing some tweets, and in our camp, and especially me, I'm hypersensitive about anything with mental health. And so we're in this weird situation where we made this thing, and like I as of now, I can't release it because this dude is certifiably fucking crazy.
Mm. What? We don't know yet. We'll wait for the evaluation to come back.
That's what I was saying. So
he could just be a bad guy.
That's what I'm saying. So there's like a, I don't know if there's a fine line, but there's, he's either just a fucking asshole mm-hmm. or like something's wrong with him. And I obviously can't pick on a dude where who's something's not right up here. And a lot of the comments, I feel bad for him. A lot of the comments on his Instagram really, they're really harsh on him.
Mm-hmm. Like negative?
Yeah.
Like that, wow. Yeah.
Talking shit about A, his mental state, B, his athletic career.
Just picking on him because he lost everything?
Yeah. See his music, like, and a lot of athletes who know what it's like to play professional sports mm-hmm. and the hardship of being a professional athlete. So like, as of now, this is not, it's not coming out. We'll see if anything changes. And we shot part of the music video too. So A, diss track, B, I think I need a new fight opponent.
You know, diss track culture hasn't been around for a while now. I haven't really heard any. There's like been Eminem and Nick Cannon.
You're right. Diss tracks. Yes, you're right.
YouTube. How about YouTube diss tracks?
But still, diss tracks in general, like 2017 was a big year of diss tracks.
Yeah.
But diss tracks, I feel like if they fucking slap, like when bro, when MGK dropped Rap Devil, mm-hmm. that track slapped.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
If you're putting out good, undeniably good content, it's going to go viral. It's going to pop. You're going to have some form of success. And I think the song was good, but yeah, we'll see.
Speaking of Colson, do you remember when we were in Cleveland and we went to that diner at 4 a.m. and he ate like 18,000 calories?
I think it's because he's so long. He's like 6'7". This happened over Christmas break. Yeah, dude, we were all like not in sober. Right.
No, we weren't sober, but like, I mean, it still doesn't matter. He ate like a plate of pasta, a cake, a salad.
I never seen anything like it.
Fried zucchini that were this fucking long.
I remember I was eating like chili cheese fries or something. I looked over at him. I was like this. I was like, what's up, bro? And he's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, what are we doing? He's like, I don't fucking know. And then he left for a flight. But yeah, he's a long dude, so he eats a lot. You're long and skinny, bro, just like you. You eat a lot.
I didn't eat as much as him.
Yeah, true.
I was just impressed. He's definitely a
Noah Cyrus last night.
Say again?
Noah Cyrus and MGK rode together.
Oh, shit. MGK, he pulls, bro. Colson pulls heavy. Wait, what was I going to say? What were we talking about? This track. Oh, yeah. Jake's fight, though.
That's coming up.
Fight. Yeah. So we have a very big next 2 weeks. Jake's fight is on Thursday in Miami. The day before that, we were going fishing with this dude, Black Tip H, on YouTube. He's got a bunch of like multi-million subscribers. And he said we're gonna catch like 9 to 15 foot sharks and fish, which is gonna be fucking crazy. After Miami, it's Super Bowl weekend, which is gonna be nuts. We are going crystal hunting in South Carolina. We're gonna search for amethyst crystals. I know Andre is excited for that. You vegan crystal. I want you to find one, put it around your neck.
Big one though.
Bro, apparently you can find up to $100,000 crystals. I'm gonna manifest this right now. I wanna find a $30,000 crystal.
Let's find a $1 million crystal.
That's a big fucking crystal.
Hey man, crazier things have happened.
Facts. Like the coronavirus.
Oh.
Taking precautions? Because by the way, I have it.
You said that this morning. A girl last night actually, I was doing a photo shoot. She was like, I'm scared to catch the disease. I was like, what?
Everyone is.
What? What are you talking about?
And we're one of those sick people, like like we heard about it yesterday. And the first thing we do when we get back from our 5-hour drive from San Francisco is we watch the movie Contagion.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because we need to know how to prepare. Because this is no joke. But also, these scares have happened. You remember swine flu?
Yep.
You remember bird flu?
Yep. What about Ebola?
Ebola, like it's happened before. And to be honest, we were a little scared in San Francisco. We took a gondola ride up to this thing where there were a bunch of trees and you could overlook the city. And this is a video that Mike's sister took.
How many Berkeley hoodies do you have now?
I bought 3 because I love their merch. The whole ride, stuffed in the corner, breathing through our hoodies. Like, bro, I ain't getting this shit. I'm sick enough. I have a chronic sinus infection, which I'm working on healing at the moment. But we bought masks too. How much were the masks?
Those aren't actually terribly expensive. They're like $50, $60.
$60 mask for the whole squad. Ain't nobody getting sick in this camp.
Nope.
Just be careful. Kiss your loved ones, but through the air. Don't make contact with their skin. Coronavirus is. Who was that? I had a couple more things, but I'm gonna be honest. Is Mike's energy just fucked me up? If you could tell.
Should we reconcile on air?
I mean, I'm down. It was just like
can
a
we
note.
Talk about
it was
this?
Just it was just a note.
Bro, it's not a fucking. It
Mike,
was
just can, a Mike, note. Can you bring those our
pastures? I'm not even mad.
You're a fascinating character, Mike.
I'm not even mad. I just like it's a timing thing. It's like I just don't want to. If it's gonna be like every time I say something, I'm just cut me off. Like I could be doing more meaningful shit from the love sack, dude. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Just let
what's
me fucking.
What's
just
more
let me,
meaningful than this?
Just let me finish my fucking
do?
Thoughts. Dude.
What did you do over there?
I got a response from the YouTuber about the spitting girl.
Oh, what'd he say?
He said he would have hocked a fucking fat loogie in that Yeesh, cunt's face. Well, actually, hold on. Let me read it.
Oh, Mike, I like that you put everything parallel to the side of the.
He said, I said, what would you have done? He said, spit the fattest fucking loogie right back in the cunt's face. Zero question about a fucking loser. I hate that bitch.
Oh, my God.
And I think that's probably that would be the general consensus of
I think so
the
too.
Majority. Of
I think
people,
so too.
Which was why I was so proud of your reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you talked about the fucking coronavirus, bro.
Why?
Because I want to talk about the fucking coronavirus.
Well, maybe it's a good beer.
But now I don't want to talk about it.
Did you know that Corona is consistently rated as the worst tasting beer?
That's not true. That can't possibly be true.
I'm very
it's not
seriously.
Even a bad fucking beer.
It's a great beer, but look it up. It's considered like one of the worst tasting beers.
You know, you know that's how you get the coronavirus.
No.
Yeah, you drink.
Don't spread false information.
Can you imagine?
People
their stock just
there
goes
are people
down.
Watching this that probably will
actually not drink Corona.
That.
I wouldn't do it.
We should go to like Costa Rica and drink some Corona.
Bro, Corona with limes in it is not a bad beer. That's no way.
And that Swayze song.
Modelo's good.
Modelo. What about Medalla in Puerto Rico? You guys ever had that? 90 cents. You don't drink beer. You like beer.
Ever.
I love beer. I like IPAs though.
This one's like the opposite of an IPA. It's like water with like, if you could have like, you know those drops that you put in water to make it flavored. It's like if you had those and you put beer flavored.
Yeah, Mio,
drops in.
Mio.
Yeah,
beer.
It's one of those.
Me.
But it's like beer flavored. It's pretty horrible. But it's like 50 cents, so it's really good.
50 cents. I like him. He's a good rapper. He makes great diss tracks. I heard you guys talk about diss tracks.
Yeah.
Such a. I heard you guys talk about diss tracks. Yeah, because you were over there and not over here.
Well, bro, dude.
Like, bro, dude, fuck? Did you have any notes for me?
No, I
just. How about you guys face each other and talk this one out?
No, I am. I'm sitting normal. It's not even, I don't have notes, bro. This is so lame. I can't believe we're in this situation.
I love it.
An hour to an hour and a half podcast, bro. People are watching it. Some like what I have to say. Some people think I'm a fucking weird, old, loudmouth, interrupting asshole.
Tell them about that. I'll tell them about that story that happened.
I'm definitely not going to be telling them about that story because it involves me talking about me. And so there's no fucking way I'm telling it.
I'll tell the story.
Go.
We're outside a restaurant in San Francisco waiting to get dinner. Some girl comes up. She's like, oh my God, I love your podcast. Then she sees Mike and she goes, you, I fucking love your big mouth. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, wait, what do you mean? She's like, I love his big mouth. I love when he talks. I love everything he has to say. I was like, this is amazing. I go, how often do you watch a show? She's like, she goes, I've watched 130. I was like, you wasted that much time.
Oh, it's
another
just,
tally.
Wait.
And then I was like, okay, like what's your favorite moment? She's like, I don't know. I only listen to them. She only listens to the audio.
Wow, there you go.
She's never seen them.
She either drives a lot or works out a lot.
So she hears Mike's voice, but and you have a radio voice. And by the way, you're right. Mm-hmm. That's why I just like. Please comment. Am I in the wrong here?
No, it's not even that. The place where you're in the wrong, and I hate to bring it back to such a solemn situation, is this podcast is successful because it's a great team effort. And back to Kobe, to bring it full circle, when he walked
don't
off, the, I'm sorry.
No, don't you fucking
when
do
he
this.
Would put
don't,
60,
don't,
when he
do
would
not
put,
do this.
When he would put
do
60,
not do this.
When he would put 60 buckets down, he would never walk off the 60 points in the basket.
I can't say anything
he
bad
would never
now.
Walk off the court and go, see that name on the back? That's why we've got this dub.
Yeah,
just don't talk for a sec, Dylan. Just sit there and shut up. Dylan, shut the fuck up.
Please.
I'm saying something. Now I'm back again. I'm being interrupted again. Okay. You don't point at the fucking rafters or the scoreboard that has your name on it on a show that has more than one person. It's not the proper behavior.
It was a simple rebuttal to you saying we've only talked about me.
Yes, I know. And it's a shit rebuttal. People watch a show for various reasons. They watch a show because it's a conversation between people.
About what? Anything?
anything.
Stuff that happens in our lives.
Stuff that happens in our lives, macro issues, guests, all kinds of stuff.
I agree with that. I was commenting. Oh, are we back?
It's a conversation on an hour-plus podcast. Why are you rushing? Who cares if we're back? Just talk. That's another issue. It's like you're bringing up like attention spans. Like, we got to get – this is not a vlog. This isn't a four-minute vlog.
But, people
– Joe Rogan has 4.5-hour podcasts. Two of the hours of it are dead silence.
Following the model of Joe Rogan.
We're not, so but just be mindful that people have an attention span to listen to this show. They're not rushing. They're not 5-minute vlogs. They put it on in their headphones while they're at work and they fucking listen to it. If we go off for 1 minute or if I go a minute too long, you don't need to cap that. I understand. I get boredom as much as you do. I feel it too. We're talking about important emotional issues. I don't think anyone out there is getting bored of me getting fired up and almost crying about something. Trust me.
No, I wasn't talking about that part. And by the way, I don't disagree with you. I guess I'd just like to optimize so we know when to move on.
Of course.
So we know that, like, I'm going to say something, and if I start to say something that either A, has nothing to do with this, B, is too me-centric, C, people are going to get bored of it, or it's already been said. Like, I try to optimize and cut out all the fat.
Of course.
And that's what I was commenting on more than I almost wish, like, this could be a good exercise. If there was like a button I could press when I felt a topic was getting dry.
You don't have to. I've done 150 episodes with you. I understand that. I know when it's being dry. Unfortunately, your movement today on topics and your fat cutting cut only one piece of fat. And that was my feelings on shit. You jumped in multiple times. I just felt like you already
like said it and just getting too worked up.
All right, well,
and like the over swearing I'm sensitive to as well. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking around. I really want to turn towards the audience in this one.
It's fine, dude. And the audience it's all fine. There's no big thing. It's not a huge thing. It's just like, let it go.
From this side of the table, it seems like Logan was trying to keep things moving. And in his like present state, he attacked your character as opposed to like trying to just keep things moving in a positive way. It came out like seeming like an attack on you when it was more just like general, hey, it kind of seems like this is not going in a direction that we haven't already gone.
I'm not upset about anything. It's all
note.
Fine.
That's a good note.
I'm not upset. It's fine. It's just a matter of like,
do you guys love each other?
Yeah. It's just a matter.
We always love each other.
Of course. It's just a matter too of like, unfortunately we've gotten to a point where, and this is where he could technically point at the sign. Uh-huh. We've gotten to a point where we probably have a little bit of creative difference on when it's time to move on too. You know what I'm saying? And he's the content creator. Technically it is his show, not technically it's his show. And so at the end of the day, like if he feels bored on a topic, I may not feel bored on a topic. These are massive macro issues. Coronavirus could be an hour and 50 minute conversation. I understand that's not our platform, but like when we're 1.5 minutes over on a topic or 30 seconds over on a topic, sometimes I'm like, all right, let it breathe. If you say something 5 times in a row, I'm not going to be like, let's move on.
Yeah. Do you think that would be he might. Like those conversations would be a good place to be or good place to have those would be on the Night Shift Overtime?
It's funny actually, because my episodes of Night Shift are 45 minutes long. His vlogs are 5.
Yeah.
It's indicative of what we think people's attention spans are. My watch rate is 65%. People watch my show for 30 fucking minutes because they want to watch me talk. I've heard it from them all the time. They're like, I don't care what you even say.
Yeah.
Just sit in front of a camera and fucking talk.
So that's what's happening. You're talking to your audience that listens to you. Facts. And you're talking to your audience that listens to you.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So you guys have to find a middle ground.
We have. It's called impulsive.
Oh my God.
It is. I'm sorry. This got way carried away today.
Hey, wait.
There's going to be people out there that don't like me. There's people out there that love my big mouth. At the end of the day, I usually or always, by the way, yield to the fact that it is his show. It is your show. And you, and by the way, I know when you're getting bored of shit and I'm gone.
I could be so fucking wrong. And in fact, I want to be, being wrong is one of my favorite things ever. Cause then I learn shit.
Mm-hmm. That's a Socrates thing. I just read that in a book on the mountain ranch. Mike, would you ever consider commentating horse racing?
And here comes the number 3 horse. Shining Shoe Shiner is coming out of the gates a little fast today. He obviously had a little bit too much Cheerios to eat. The sugar is running through his blood. But here comes Spadackly Dackless. No, I don't think I have it, bro.
Talk to Vantage about that one. That'd be good.
Well, you know what? Fuck this episode. Fuck you, bro. And
I also just don't know that there's also like right and wrongs either. Like, I feel like it's
sometimes it usually is.
No, on shit like this. Like, it's just creative shit, dude. It's like we're sitting at a fucking table that's in the shape of a dead bird talking about fucking coronaviruses. And like, it's like, I don't fucking know.
Fucking spirit isn't
like,
dead.
Did we go 36 seconds? I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know if we went over. Do we have to do the scientific method? Who's got the dependence? Who's got the independence? Do we have a thesis? Like, or are we just three fucking morons talking about fucking a bunch of pop culture on a dead bird table? Like, I don't fucking know.
You're hurting my feelings, bro. He's not. I'm not ready for that.
Oh,
I'm not, bro.
That was an olive branch. He cut it off, dude.
He's my fucking child. He's not a dead bird. I mean, I guess he is.
No, I don't. He's a great bird, dude.
But he's dead. He's dead now, bro. He's dead. I'm getting another fucking parrot.
An African gray parrot.
Oh, God. African gray. He can speak 1,000 words. He's going to say something like this.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Are you going to take care of the parrot?
Yeah, duh. I take care of all of my pets. Yeah.
Do you think you could train him to tell us when we've gone too far on the topic? Like, to channel the attention span?
When the bird is bored, he goes,
fucking stop.
And then we just have to move on. See that? Oh, wait, what if there's a third party involved and it's not me or you? That's like, that pushes the move on button. Oh, like what if it's the producer?
He sort of does that. Dylan will look at me like this and I'm like, oh yeah, I understand. And it's usually at the same time. All right, bro. Fuck this. We're done. I'm going to go deal with Mike and talk to Mike off camera. For everyone that wants to know what it's like and we argue after the show, we do. And we're going to have a 30 to 60 minute debrief.
Whoa, hold on a second. No fucking way today.
30? How about 30 to 60 seconds?
Seconds, yeah.
I have things to say.
And it's going
to
be recorded and posted on Logan's vlog channel.
Yo, hit that fucking subscribe button. Hit the vlog tomorrow. When to sleep on the and go over to Miami for my bus fight.
What are you looking forward to in Miami?
In Miami?
Violence.
Andrew goes like this. Should we just cut it? Oh, we're done. Fucking see ya.
This podcast is supported by Morgan Stanley.
What do you get from the Morgan Stanley client experience? Listening more than talking. And a personalized plan to guide you through a changing world.
To learn more, visit morganstanley.com/YUS. Investing involves risk. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.